上海紧缺人才培训工程教学系列丛书，英语中级口译资格证书考试，中级口译教程第二版，第四合，由上海外语音像出版社录制出版。
An Intermediate Course of Interpretation, Second Edition. Unit 9, Interpreting Academic Speeches. English-Chinese Interpretation. 9-4, The Information Age. Text for Interpretation. Interpret the following passage from English into Chinese.My topic today is information, a valuable commodity. Let us take a look at the most important commodity in the world, information. The advancement of communication technology has given us the ability to know and understand what is going on in any part of the world at any given time. It has become imperative for us to understand the implications of economic and political changeand the impact that this has on foreign exchange rates and the stock market. Financial institutions have put great emphasis on developing technology that will enable us to have the edge on our competitors in terms of analyzing the global information and distributing this to our customer base. The growth in the number of independent news companies, combined with improved telecommunication,has led to a boom in the level of coverage of breaking news and a drop in the cost of obtaining that information. Thus, the proprietary knowledge that was previously possessed by dealers is now generally available to non-bank financial institutions and corporations. This change immediately has led to a narrowing in the profit margin being made from customer business,and greater competition among dealers for that business. Customers have been marketed more intensely by an increasing number of financial institutions. The corporate customer now receives more information analysis and opinion from such a wide range of market players that they themselves have more information available to them than some of the lesser financial institutions.The general response of customers to this huge flow of information led to an increase in the level of business transacted as they seek to take advantage of market opportunities. The dramatic increase in information flow has been a key influential factor in the financial market over the last 20 years. My next lecture will focus on electronic dealing and broking and their impact on the marketplace.Your attendance is most welcome. Sentences in focus. Interpret the following sentences from English into Chinese.
1. Although the languages of various regions are so different that they are mutually unintelligible, they have a great deal in common in their basic principles and in the way they approach certain specific problems of communication.
2.One of the wonders about language and language use is that with a finite set of rules, speakers can produce and understand an infinite set of sentences.
3. The creative aspect of human language is not found in the communication system of any other species. That is, human beings have the ability to combine basic linguistic units.To form an infinite set of grammatical sentences, most of which are novel, never before produced or heard.
4. The difference between a human brain and a computer can be expressed in a single word, complexity.
5. The many billions of brain cells are interconnected in a vastly complicated network that we can't begin to interpret as yet.
6. While the computer switch is just an on-off device, the brain cell is itself possessed of a tremendously complex inner structure.
7. Our gene program is so much more enormously complex that we might like to define thinking in terms of our creativity in literature, art, science, and technology.
8. The point of concern is that while programming the computer, mankind is not only creating a servant, but also a threatening rival.
9. What I want to focus on is the principles that underlie computer programming.
10. New breakthroughs in biomedical technology are announced daily. Achievements such as the completion of the Human Genome Project portend much more serious changes to come.
11. We don't have to await the arrival of human genetic engineering to foresee a time when we will be able to enhance intelligence, memory, emotional sensitivity, as well as manipulate behavior in a host of other ways.
12. While many medical advances have increased the quality of life for older people, many have had the opposite effect by prolonging only one aspect of life and increasing dependency.
13. We could find ways to preserve bodily health, but would fail to put off age-related mental deterioration.
14. Stem cell research might yield ways to grow new body parts, but without a parallel cure for Alzheimer's, this wonderful new technology would do no more than allow more people to persist in vegetative states for years longer than is currently possible.
15. I should thank you for the privilege of speaking here and for ensuring me such an attentive audience.
16. The advancement of telecommunication technology has given us the ability to know and understand what is going on in any part of the world at any given time.
17. It has become imperative for us to understand the implications of economic and political change and the impact that this has on the market of stocks, securities, and futures.
18. The dramatic increase in information flow has been a major influential factor in the financial market over the last decade. Unit 10. Interpreting academic speeches. Chinese English interpretation.
10-1. On cultural classes. Text for interpretation. Interpret the following passage from Chinese into English.
主席先生, 能有机会在讨论会上以文化冲突与融合为题进行发言, 我谨向您表示感谢。约翰逊博士在他的讲话中提出了冲突论的见解。约翰逊博士的理论是建筑在这样一种观点之上的。 他认为，在后冷战时期，全球冲突源于文化冲突，而文化冲突的焦点集中在宗教和信仰的不同，而非意识形态的不同，也不是国与国之间在经济与政治上的对抗。他认为，同属一个文明圈的国家将在冲突中聚合在一起。 信奉儒教和伊斯兰教的国家将站在一条战线上，与西方国家和世界其他地区形成对抗。我对这样一种观点深感不安。约翰逊博士的冲突论表明了许多西方国家对东亚，尤其是对中国近年来经济持续增长的一种失望而又焦虑的心情。 同时也反映了人们对西方文明前途的一种与日俱增的困惑感和信心缺乏症。我们承认不同文化之间的巨大差异，这些差异有时可能会引起摩擦。然而，将这种摩擦夸大其词为世界政治冲突和战争是一种误导，是很危险的。 倘若这种冲突论对决策产生影响作用，其危险性便越大。 一些西方人士认为，其他国家的现代化意味着对西方经济、政治和社会制度与价值观念的仿效。我认为，现代化不意味着西方化。事实上，亚洲的经济成功使亚洲人民觉悟起来，产生了文化认同感。他们开始重新思考西方的社会与政治模式是否适用于他们本国，他们是否应该建立起自己的社会与政治发展模式。我认为，西方模式只是通往现代化的一种途径，全然不是唯一的途径，或许很可能不是一条最佳途径。中国以及其他一些亚洲国家的经济成功，不是简单模仿现代西方文明的结果。恰恰相反，我们的成功代表了一种新文化的诞生，它代表了一种集东西方传统的优点之大成的新价值体系。我赞同许多东亚学者的观点，东方文明可以医治盛行于西方世界的一些顽疾。西方世界个人自由的泛滥，导致了极端个人主义、性关系混乱以及过度的暴力行为。对此，我们绝不可视而不见。相反，东方社会的自我约束性、集体责任感以及温厚儒雅的传统，倒可以消除西方社会的许多恶疾。在这个信息时代，世界已缩小为一个地球村，这个地球村里不再有什么泾渭分明的东方世界和西方世界，我们是生活在同一个社区里的邻里，因此我们彼此之间无需相互冲突，我们之间的关系是一种友好合作、平等互补的关系，我们应该相互理解、相互学习、和睦共处。我的发言到此结束，谢谢主席先生。
10-2 Communicative Competence Text for Interpretation Interpret the following passage from Chinese into English.
人们聚在一起，无论做什么，总离不了说话。我们生活在语言的世界里，我们对家人说话，对亲属说话，对朋友说话，对同事说话，我们还对陌生人说话。我们面对面的说话，我们在电话里说话，我们回答时还要说话。电视机和收音机在言语海洋里起着推波助澜的作用。除了睡觉之外，我们很少有不说话的时候，我们甚至在睡梦中也会说话。有些人在睡眠时会大声说话。我们还会自言自语，有时对宠物说话，有时则对自己说话。我们是这个星球上唯一能说话的动物。拥有语言，确切地说是拥有创造性的语言，较之任何其他属性更能将人类同其他动物区别开来。要理解人，就必须理解那种使我们成为人的语言。懂一种语言，使你可以说这门语言，你说的话也可以被其他懂这种语言的人听懂。这意味着你能够发出表示某种概念或意义的声音，能够听懂或解释其他人发出的声音。因此，懂得一种语言不仅指了解这种语言包含了哪些语音，而且还指了解语音与意义的关系。你如果不懂某种语言， 别人用这种语言对你说话时发出的声音，你基本上无法理解。这是因为大部分语音与语义之间的关系是任意确定的。懂得一种语言能使你遣词造句。懂得一种语言意味着你能够说出前人未说过的话，也能听懂在此之前无人说过的话。语言学家称这种能力为语言运用的创造属性。懂得一种语言包括懂得哪些句子在某种场合中使用是恰当的。这就是说，语言的使用受到场合或上下文的约束。当一个人对另外一个人说话时，他会根据不同的对象使用不同的词汇和语气。当一个人说出一句话时，同样这句话在不同的场合对不同的听众可以包含不同的内容。
10-3 Chinese Calligraphy Text for Interpretation Interpret the following passage from Chinese into English.
我很高兴有机会向诸位介绍中国书法这一宝贵的文化遗产及其对中国旅游业的贡献。中国有句古话是这样说的，山不在高，有仙则名，水不在深，有龙则灵。中国书法好似山上之仙，水中之龙。中国书法同其他书写形式有很大区别。汉字在其漫长的发展史中演化成许多不同的艺术形式，其中包括甲骨铭文、青铜器铭文、篆书、隶书、楷书、行书和草书。许多汉字属象形文字，常可从字的形状揣知其意。无论是刀刻书法还是笔墨书法，都可以通过字形的夸张取得艺术效果。因此书法一直是一门研究艺术。千百年来，中国书法家倾注了大量的心血研究书法艺术的形式、规则及理论。他们的成果对朝鲜、日本和东南亚国家的汉字书法家产生了巨大的影响。这些国家的书法家经常不断地访问中国，探索书法艺术。汉字的传统书法并未受外界的影响，这是我国的一大旅游资源。中国大多数旅游区都有不可胜数的铭文石碑，其中许多是刻在悬崖峭壁上的铭文，匾额和厅堂卷轴对联。以石碑闻名遐迩的桂林七星岩内，各个朝代的铭文随处可见。旅游区的古代书法遗迹皆以碑林和石刻为主。例如建于1091年的西安碑林，碑林区还留有大量的周，公元前11世纪到公元前256年，秦，公元前221年到公元前206年时期的石刻作品。对于那些有兴趣把书法作为一种艺术形式来研究的人士来说，曲阜孔庙和泰山岱庙里的石碑是必看无疑的。两处都存有数百件书法风格各异的石刻碑匾。中国历史上许多诗人和高僧在浪迹名山时皆墨洒悬崖峭壁，以此抒发感情。所幸的是，他们的许多作品均被完好的保存了下来。除了石碑岩崖作品外，在丝绸和纸张上行文留字则是更为常见的书法形式。 汉字书法无论以何种形式出现，都将继续吸引着海外游客。
10-4 Community Service Text for Interpretation Interpret the following passage from Chinese into English.
女士们，先生们，我很高兴能够参加本届社区服务国际学术研讨会，并做发言。社区服务是当今各国普遍关注的一个问题，它不但是社会稳定的措施之一，而且是社会进步与发展的需要。社区服务对于解决某些社会问题、改善人民生活、促进精神文明建设都有着重要的作用。过去我国在较长时间内没有使用社区服务这个名称，但是在实践中做了许多服务于社区居民的工作。例如，我国许多城市的街道委员会和里弄居民委员会所做的许多工作属于社区服务工作。改革开放以来，尤其是自国家民政部在总结城市社会福利改革经验的基础上，肯定和推广社区服务的经验以来，社区服务在全国范围内蓬勃展开。我国的国民经济和社会发展十五计划和2010年远景目标纲要明确提出要积极发展社会福利事业和社区服务。可以预期，社区服务将引起全社会的普遍关注，并将有一个新的发展。当然，我国社区服务的发展还很不平衡，还有许多不足之处和薄弱环节。这些问题的解决，除了政府加强领导予以解决以外，非常需要社会各方面以及非政府组织的积极努力，需要广大群众的直接参与，做出奉献。这既是过去实践的经验总结，又是今后工作的努力方向。我国社区服务起步较晚，经验不足。参加这次研讨会的欧美社区服务学者，以及来自东南亚国家和地区的朋友们，给我们带来了宝贵的经验和意见。他们所做的学术报告，对进一步促进和改善我国的社区服务工作，必将产生积极的影响。
Sentences in focus. Interpret the following sentences from Chinese into English.
一，我对全球冲突源于文化冲突这样一种观点深感不安。
二，这种观点反映了人们对西方文明的前途怀有一种与日俱增的困惑感。
三，亚洲的经济成功使这个地区的人民觉悟起来，对自己的聪明才智与创造力有了新的认识。他们开始重新思考西方的社会模式与政治模式是否适用于他们本国。
四，东亚的经济成功代表了一种新文化的诞生，代表了一种集东西方传统优点之大成的新价值体系的诞生。
五，我赞同许多东亚学者的观点，东亚社会的自我约束性、集体责任感以及温厚儒雅的传统，可以医治盛行于西方世界的许多顽疾。
六，在这个信息时代，世界已缩小为一个地球村，我们彼此之间无需冲突，我们之间的关系是一种友好合作、平等互利、和睦相处的关系。
七，我们创造性的运用语言的能力，较之任何其他人类的属性，更能将我们同动物区别开来。
八， 懂得一门语言还包括懂得哪些句子在某种场合中使用是恰当的。这就是说，语言的使用受到场合或上下文的约束。
九，中国有句古话是这样说的，山不在高，有仙则名，水不在深，有龙则灵。
十，许多汉字属象形文字，人们常可从字的形状揣知其意。
十一，汉字在其漫长的发展史中演化成许多不同的艺术形式，其中包括甲骨铭文、青铜器铭文、篆书、隶书、楷书、行书和草书。
十二，千百年来，中国许多书法家潜心研究书法艺术的形式、规则及理论。
十三，以石碑闻名遐迩的桂林七星岩内，各个朝代的铭文随处可见。
十四，对于那些有兴趣把书法作为一种艺术形式来研究的人士来说，曲阜孔庙和泰山岱庙是必游之地。
十五，中国历史上许多诗人和高僧在浪迹名山时皆洒墨于悬崖峭壁上，他们以此来抒发自己的感情。
十六，社区服务不但是社会稳定的一种措施，同时也是社会进步与发展的需要。
十七，我国社区服务起步较晚，发展还很不平衡，还有许多不足之处和薄弱环节需要克服。
十八，各位专家学者所做的学术报告，对促进和改善我们的工作必将产生积极的影响。
Unit 11, Interpreting Business Speeches, English-Chinese Interpretation. 11-1, Entrepreneurial Culture. Text for Interpretation. Interpret the following passage from English into Chinese.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. Today I'll focus on the importance of entrepreneurial culture, drawing on the lesson from the Enron case. For most of the 1990s, CEOs at old economy companies struggled to turn slow-moving organizations into nimbler, more flexible outfits. The truth is, real transformations are the exception rather than the rule. Changing the core values, the attitudes, and the fundamental relationships of a vast organization is overwhelmingly difficult. That's why an army of academics and consultants descended on Enron in the late 1990s and held it up as a paragon of management virtue. Enron seemed to have transformed itself from a stodgy regulated utility to a fast-moving enterprise where performance was paramount. If only that were true, Enron tumbled down. Many of the same academics are now busy distilling the cultural and leadership lessons from the debacle. Their conclusions so far: Enron didn't fail just because of improper accounting or alleged corruption at the top. It also failed because of its entrepreneurial culture, the very reason Enron attracted so much attention and acclaim. Too much emphasis on earnings growth and individual initiative, coupled with a shocking absence of the usual corporate checks and balances, turned Enron's entrepreneurial culture from one that rewarded aggressive strategy to one that increasingly relied on unethical means. In the end, too much leeway was given to young, inexperienced managers without the necessary controls to minimize failures. Jeffrey K. Skilling assumed Enron CEO in early 2001. His recipe for changing the company was right out of the new economy playbook. Layers of management were wiped out. Hundreds of outsiders were recruited and encouraged to bring new thinking to a tradition-bound business. The company abolished seniority-based salaries in favor of more highly leveraged compensation that offered huge cash bonuses and stock option grants to top performers.
That's the end of Side A.
Young people, many just out of undergraduate or MBA programs, were handed extraordinary authority, able to make $5 million decisions without higher approval. In larger companies like IBM, even though there is a movement toward youth, there are still enough older people around to mentor them. At Enron, you had a bunch of kids running loose without adult supervision. The new entrepreneurial culture encourages the loose and tight environment. The idea is to combine tight controls with maximum individual authority to allow entrepreneurship to flourish without the culture edging into chaos. At Enron, however, the pressure to make the numbers was often overwhelming. The environment was ripe for abuse. Nobody at corporate was asking the right questions. It was completely hands-off management. It was a runaway train. I'd like to stop here and take your questions.
11-2. Getting to know bonds. Text for interpretation. Interpret the following passage from English into Chinese. How many of you buy bonds? More and more people show great interest in bonds investment. A major appeal of investing in bonds is that they provide investors with a steady stream of income and guarantee the repayment of the loan in full at maturity. Bonds also appeal to investors because of their scope for capital appreciation. Take, for instance, a fall in interest rates. In this case, bonds which were issued when interest rates were high will become increasingly valuable, and as the bond price rises, this provides profit for bond sellers. In addition, if interest rates had fallen significantly over a period of time, economic growth would be stimulated as lower borrowing costs and savings rates would encourage businesses to invest and households to consume. In such a low interest rate environment, it may still be good for investors to consider investing some money in bonds because they will be able to achieve a higher return than cash deposits. In a nutshell, an investor should consider investing in bonds as an alternative for the purpose of a diversification in investment. As a bond pays a regular interest, it may be suitable for investors, such as retirees, who require a regular income over a specific time. Equities and government bonds are well suited to some investors. Younger investors will benefit from equity capital growth because they are generally investing for the longer term and not unduly concerned with the lack of immediate yield. Investors concerned with avoiding risk will be prepared to accept the relatively low yields now available on government bonds. But many investors fall somewhere between these two extremes. In recent years, financial markets have become increasingly polarized between growth and security. Investors looking for medium and low risk are increasingly turning to the corporate bond market as an alternative to equities and government bonds. Corporate bonds offer an ideal alternative to equities and government bonds, providing some of the benefits of each. With corporate bonds, an investor can opt for a lower risk exposure than with equities, but a higher income yield than with government bonds. The main disadvantage of corporate bonds is that an investor only indirectly participates in the company's success through its creditworthiness, but otherwise will not benefit from corporate expansion in the way that equity holders will. On the other hand, absolute risk is lower than for equities because coupon payments cannot be waived and, in the event of a default, bondholders are ranked highly among creditors. However, corporate creditworthiness is a key factor in assessing the value and risk of corporate bonds. Credit rating agencies play an important role in this process. The two main agencies are Moody's and Standard & Poor's. They assign ratings both to equities, issuing bonds, and to specific corporate bond issues. This gives investors a guide as to their credit quality, which indicates possible risk. Liquidity is also an important factor. Investors should be generally aware that corporate bonds, even in mature markets such as the United States and Britain, have fairly limited secondary markets. That is to say, unlike equities or government bonds, they cannot always be sold easily to other investors. Although corporate bonds carry more risk than government bonds, that risk can be controlled to a large extent by credit analysis and other checks on the issuer and the terms of the bond. In return, investors have the opportunity to achieve a good cash income. Buy stocks or bonds? Make your own decision. 11-3. The Unique Silicon Valley. Text for interpretation. Interpret the following passage from English into Chinese.
What makes Silicon Valley so successful and unique? Silicon Valley is a magnet to which numerous talented engineers, scientists, and entrepreneurs from overseas flock in search of fame and fast money and to participate enthusiastically in a technological revolution whose impact on mankind will surely surpass the epoch-making European Renaissance and Industrial Revolution of the bygone age. With the rapid spread of the Internet and the relentless technological innovations generated through it, the information era is truly upon us, profoundly influencing and changing not only our lifestyle, but also the way we work, do business, think, and communicate with others. It is noteworthy that close to 50% of its skilled manpower, including engineers, scientists, and entrepreneurs, come from Asia. Prominent among them are Indians, Chinese, and Singaporeans. They include such illustrious names as Vinod Khosla, who co-founded Sun Microsystems, Jerry Yang of Yahoo fame, and Singaporean Sim Wong Hu. Many countries have or are in the process of creating their own Silicon Valley. So far, none has as yet threatened the preeminence of the U.S. prototype. What makes Silicon Valley such a unique entity? I think there are several crucial factors. First and foremost, it has the largest concentration of brilliant computer professionals and the best supporting services in the world, and easy access to world-class research institutions like Stanford University, which continually nurture would-be geniuses which the industry needs in order to move forward. Without these advantages, the Valley would be a different place. Secondly, it actively encourages, or even exalts, risk-taking. Hence, failure holds no terror, and there is no stigma attached to a failed effort. On the contrary, they will try even harder next time round. Such never-say-die approach is the sine qua non for the ultimate triumph in entrepreneurship and technological breakthrough. A third decisive factor is the vital role of venture capitalists who willingly support promising startups with urgently needed initial capital to get them started. Some would even give failed entrepreneurs a second chance if convinced that a fresh concept might lead to eventual success. It is a common practice for startups to offer generous share options to employees in order to attract the right talent into their folds. This is a powerful incentive to motivate the staff to do their utmost and to share in the company's prosperity if it reaches its goal. Many regard this as the foundation of a successful enterprise. Those that have become high flyers, such as Netscape, Intel, Cisco, and Yahoo, have turned many of their employees, including support staff like secretaries, into dot-com millionaires overnight, often at the relatively young age of 20s or 30s. The Valley's professionals are among the most hard-working people anywhere. A 15-hour day and 7-day week is not uncommon, especially during the startup stage. They would give up social life and curtail their family life too, in order to pursue the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. It is this single-minded pursuit of excellence, supported by strong ethos of teamwork and esprit de corps, that sustain them until their mission is accomplished. Paper qualification, though useful, is not a be-all and end-all. More weight is given to a candidate's proven abilities and aptitude for the job. This is amply demonstrated by industry icons like Apple's Jobs and Wozniak and Microsoft's Gates. All college dropouts who might not have emerged in a qualification-conscious community. While racial prejudice no doubt still exists in the United States, it is hardly discernible in the Valley. What counts most is one's vision and track record, and not one's nationality, skin color, or creed. This, together with its multiracial society, informal lifestyle, and agreeable climate, lures foreigners to its shores. Its phenomenal success has led to a worldwide fever to proliferate dot-com companies, both as a prestigious symbol and a quicker way to wealth. In consequence, many bright young people have given up their secure jobs to join in the race. But the reality is that, because of its high-risk nature, for every success story there are hundreds who will fall by the wayside. However, with the collapse of the U.S. NASDAQ share index, the share options held by numerous paper dot-com millionaires have become virtually worthless in these changed circumstances. Those who could not take the hit, as it were, left their employment feeling disillusioned. Be that as it may, the majority in the Valley views this traumatic experience only as a temporary setback for the industry. They are sanguine that its longer-term prospects remain bright, as the ultimate potential of the information age has not yet run its full course. They are confident that it will flourish well into this century, provided it maintains its cutting edge in science and technology.
11-4 On Patent Laws. Text for interpretation. Interpret the following passage from English into Chinese. Today, we, pioneers and leaders of electronic commerce, are meeting here to call for changes in U.S. patent laws. We believe such changes are needed to deal with new business models related to the growth of the Internet. I share the same view with Jeff Bezos, Chief Executive of online bookseller Amazon.com. Mr. Bezos argued in an open letter that current patent laws could end up harming all kinds of businesses if the laws were not adapted to new business methods used in e-commerce. I think U.S. patent laws are designed to protect the commercial rights of people who have invested in new products, systems, or methods. Here I propose that the period of protection offered by patents should be cut from 17 years to about 4 years. I also propose a one-month period of public consultation before patents are issued. The purpose of these changes is to ensure that patented business models and software are more quickly released into the public domain. Amazon was once under criticism for allegedly abusing current laws by patenting business methods that are so general in scope they should be available to everyone. Two examples include Amazon's patent for the so-called one-click purchasing option on its worldwide website and its program for paying other websites that refer customers to the Amazon site. From my experience of working with high technology companies in California's Silicon Valley, the biggest problems arise when existing patent protections for business methods are combined with the Internet. When you combine the ability to patent business methods with the advent of the Internet, you have a very interesting coincidence. The Internet, because it is brand new, provides a new way of doing just about everything. You can have electronic shopping carts on the Internet that mimic the shopping carts in the real world. But because it is a new environment, a new medium, that is sufficiently novel to obtain a patent on that idea. If changes in the patent laws are going to have any real impact, they must be made soon, before too many more new business method patents are issued. Some of my colleagues in the industry have already begun lobbying lawmakers to make the changes. But we have to be a little bit more patient, because it will take at least 2 years for any changes proposed now to be approved by lawmakers and established as law. Sentences in focus. Interpret the following sentences from English into Chinese.
1. Today I'll focus on the importance of entrepreneurial culture, drawing on the lesson from a few outstanding cases.
2. The truth is, really successful transformations are the exception rather than the rule.
3. Changing the core values, the attitudes, and the fundamental relationships of a vast organization is overwhelmingly difficult.
4. Too much emphasis on earnings growth and individual initiative, coupled with a shocking absence of the usual corporate checks and balances, turn the company's entrepreneurial culture from one that rewarded aggressive strategy to one that increasingly relied on unethical means.
5. The new entrepreneurial culture encourages the loose and tight environment. The idea is to combine tight controls with maximum individual authority to allow entrepreneurship to flourish without the culture edging into chaos.
6. Bonds appeal to investors because of their scope for capital appreciation.
7. Investors consider investing some money in bonds because they will be able to achieve a higher return than cash deposits.
8. In a nutshell, an investor should consider investing in bonds as an alternative for the purpose of diversification in investment.
9. In recent years, financial markets have become increasingly polarized between growth and security.
10. Credit rating agencies, such as Moody's and Standard & Poor's, assign ratings both to entities issuing bonds and to specific corporate bond issues, and indicate possible risk in financial investment.
11. Silicon Valley is a magnet to which numerous talented engineers, scientists, and entrepreneurs from overseas flock in search of fame and gain.
12. First and foremost, Silicon Valley has the largest concentration of brilliant computer professionals and the best supporting services in the world.
13. The never-say-die approach is the sine qua non for the ultimate triumph in entrepreneurship and technological breakthrough.
14. They willingly support promising startups with urgently needed initial capital to get them started.
15. Paper qualification, though useful, is not a be-all and end-all.
16. Because of its high-risk nature, for every success story, there are hundreds who will fall by the wayside.
17. Today, we, pioneers and leaders of electronic commerce, are meeting here to call together for changes in the existing patent laws.
18. I propose a one-month period of public consultation before patents are issued. Unit 12. Interpreting business speeches. Chinese English interpretation.
12-1. The growing financial industry. Text for interpretation. Interpret the following passage from Chinese into English.
女士们、先生们，我今天想谈一下上海金融业的现状与发展趋势。众所周知，目前的亚洲是全球经济发展最为迅速的地区，中国是亚洲经济增长最快的国家，上海更是中国经济发展最引人瞩目的城市之一。 在上个世纪三四十年代，上海曾是远东最大的国际金融中心。今天，鉴于上海特殊的历史地位与地理优势，以基于中国经济强劲发展的实力，这座城市重建远东国际金融中心的事态已成定局。中国改革的总设计师、已故的邓小平先生 早在1992年来沪时便明确提出，中国在金融方面取得国际地位，首先要靠上海。中国决策层已决心尽快将上海建成国际经济金融贸易中心城市。经过15年的金融发展与改革，上海金融机构迅速扩展。目前， 上海已形成了以中央银行及中国人民银行为领导、以国有商业银行为主体、各种金融机构并存、发展比较健全的金融机构组织体系。近10年来，外资金融机构纷纷抢滩上海，其中包括外资银行、外资财务公司、外资保险公司和外资金融机构代表处。 与此同时，上海金融市场迅速发展。迄今为止，上海已建成了具有一定规模与相当影响的比较完整的金融市场体系，其中包括证券市场、外汇市场、贴现市场、保险市场、经营买卖市场等。上海证券市场的发展最为瞩目， 已成为辐射全国、影响深远的国内最大的资本市场。随着我国改革开放的深入和综合国力的增强，上海金融业必将在更高层次上得到全面拓展。根据上海市政府制定的社会和经济发展蓝图，到2010年，上海将基本建成国际经济 金融贸易中心之一，全方位介入国际金融活动，外汇市场、资本市场、黄金市场实现与世界各金融中心的全天候交易，人民币实行自由兑换。女士们、先生们，新世纪的上海充满着希望，是各国富有远见的金融家和企业家大展宏图的黄金宝地。 让我们携手合作，共图发展大业。谢谢。
12-2 Asia Cooperation Text for interpretation. Interpret the following passage from Chinese into English.
我很高兴参加博鳌亚洲论坛首次年会，与大家共同探讨新世纪亚洲区域合作与发展的问题。亚洲是地球上最大的洲，聚居着世界 60% 的人口，资源十分丰富，历史源远流长，文化博大精深。近年来，在亚洲国家共同努力下，包容、平等和渐进的地区合作意识日益加强，开放、健康和互利的合作局面正在形成。亚太经合组织不断发展，东亚区域合作方兴未艾，上海合作组织顺利运转。我国与东盟国家一致同意，今后十年内逐步建立中国东盟自由贸易区，并正就启动谈判进行接触。这些将为亚洲国家和地区扩大交流、深化合作提供重要渠道和机制。但是，与欧洲和北美区域合作相比，亚洲区域合作相对落后。一段时间以来，许多方面对亚洲区域合作的发展方向提出不少独到见解。这里我谈几点看法。第一，以经济合作为重点，逐步拓展全方位合作。发展经济是亚洲各国的首要任务。从实际需要和实践看，可以把贸易、交通、农业、信息、能源作为优先合作领域，并逐步向其他领域扩展。第二，立足现有合作渠道，不断扩大合作范围。东亚、南亚、西亚和中亚地理上相对独立，经济发展各有特色。从便利性和有效性看，应首先加强次区域合作，在此基础上积极探索泛亚合作的途径。第三，进一步拓展双边合作，增强区域合作的基础。加强双边合作有利于推动区域合作的顺利发展，区域合作也有利于为双边开辟更广阔的空间，两者可以形成良性互动。第四，实行开放式地区合作。合作不可能自我封闭，更不应形成排他性集团。亚洲国家应通过 APEC、 亚欧会议和东亚拉美合作论坛等渠道，进一步加强与各大洲国家的合作。中国是亚洲的一员，20多年来，中国坚定不移地推进改革开放，加速国民经济发展。中国改革开放和现代化的新跨越，不仅将给中国人民带来巨大福祉，也必将提供无限商机，为亚洲和世界经济合作开辟新的广阔空间。加入世贸组织是中国对外开放的新起点。我们将在更大范围和更深程度上参与国际经济合作与竞争。中国将进一步向亚洲和世界开放，向各国的企业家、投资者开放。我们恪守入世承诺，有步骤地扩大开放领域，降低关税水平，取消非关税壁垒。我们也将不断完善法治，创造更加公平、透明和可预见的市场环境。同时，我们还将大力实施走出去战略，鼓励中国各种所有制企业走向世界。中国人民热爱和平，中国的发展需要和平。亚洲人民勤劳智慧，自强不息。中国人民愿与亚洲各国人民一道，携手共创美好未来。
That's the end of side B.